everybody. Welcome back to the Tipsy Ghosts. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm going to regret this.
Are you?
But do you want to know some of the most
perverted
sounding town names in each state?
1,000%.
Yes. I thought you'd never ask.
All right. The most perverted sounding name in Missouri is Cooter.
You know, that checks out.
In Kansas, Drywood. There is a Hooker, Oklahoma.
That's just offensive.
A Wiener, Arkansas.
Okay, yeah. Wiener.
There is a Beaver City, Nebraska.
Beaver.
Balltown, Iowa.
Bald?
Ball. Balltown.
Balltown.
We got Spread Eagle, Wisconsin.
Gross. Spread Eagle.
Dick, Michigan.
Dickchigan.
Why though? Of course.
PP Township, Ohio.
PP
Township.
PP? <Pee-pee? laughs>
They added township. We can't just be PP Iowa.
Iowa.
I was confused if it's Idaho or Ohio.
Ohio. My
brain froze. Okay.
Climax, North Carolina.
Man.
Sugar Tit, South Carolina.
No. Who did that?
Butts, Georgia. Ball Play, Alabama.
Named by a man, I'm sure.
So they're just like,
Sweet Whips, Tennessee.
God,
okay,
gross.
Okay, upper, lower.
Splunge, Mississippi. Upper, lower.
Upper lips, lower lips.
Oh.
I was like, which one's which?
Splunge, Mississippi.
Splunge.
Splooge.
Three-way, Arizona.
Okay.
Mary's Igloo, Alaska.
Oh, that's precious. That seems innocent enough.
Rough and Ready, California.
It's like, come and go.
Wanker's Corner, Oregon.
What? Who did this?
Dick Shooter, Iowa. Or, you know, I'm sorry, Idaho.
It turns out our ancestors are related to us.
Yes, you know what?
Bone Steel, South Dakota.
It's confirmed by the city names. Because same, I would have said those.
I am from here.
Cooter, Iowa.
And we'll end with North Dakota. Cummings, North Dakota.
I feel like there's a lot of Cummings.
And it's spelled exactly how you think it should not be spelled.
Have you seen the Stephen Colbert show about the come and go?
Mm-mm.
I'll just send it to you later. But it's about how come and go is going out of business.
I believe it.
Yeah. And they were bought out, I should say. And they're not adopting the name come and go.
Shocker. It's because anyone who's not in Missouri is like, why is this gas station named Come and Go? And we're like, listen, we don't know, but they're nice gas stations.
They're really nice.
They are
also
nice.
They're spelled all fucked up. Like, not either way. I don't know what's going on there.
It's K-U-M. Come and Go.
Are they nice?
They're pretty nice.
They are
pretty
like nice. Loves. I have a true crime for you guys.
True crime.
I love that. In the spirit of your last true crime, we're going to do a true crime that does not have murder involved.
Okay. Clever.
We're going to do some con man stuff, okay? Oh,
another con artist.
True con.
Some conning.
Con man.
All right, so we're going to talk about John Darwin.
John Darwin.
There you go.
Thank you.
He was born around 1950 in the UK.
1950.
In the UK. John. We are never going to get through this episode of you sing every sentence.
Sorry, not sorry.
All right. He married Anne Stevenson in December of
1973. Anne Stevenson.
And he taught science and math for 18 years before he left to work at the bank.
The bank. Science.
And you yelled, the bank. Then he became a prison officer after that.
Okay.
His wife, Anne, was a receptionist for a doctor's office. They also had a side business where they would rent. There, they call them bed sits, which they're houses. They're renting houses. It's a bed sit. Isn't that adorable?
It's a little misleading, but it is. It's okay.
So they had 12 bed sits, 12 houses that they rented out to people.
Cute.
So is that like a bedroom?
So they like rent out like a room in a house. Yes. And so it's like a room you rent and you might share a bathroom with other people, but it's kind of like what I think a hostel would be like.
Got
it. So they own the house and then they rent out the rooms to people. But of course, they began to run into some debt. They had...
What?
Some debt?
They run into some debt.
Debt. Okay.
Some debt. Accent came out. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said.
All right. You guys are dirty birdies. I blame myself. They had bought two homes in December 2000, and things were not going well. So John Darwin was seen...
Has he gone Darwinism? To Galapagos yet?
He has not gone to the Galapagos Islands. John Darwin was seen by his neighbor paddling out to sea in his little red kayak on March 21st, 2002.
It's adorable.
He was reported as missing after he failed to return to work the next day. A large-scale sea search took place, and they searched over 62 square miles of coastline, but there was no sign of John Darwin anywhere. They did find... After several weeks, a double-ended paddle in the wreckage of his kayak, and it was smashed to pieces.
No. Smithereens.
Smithereens.
No.
No.
Suspiciously, the North Sea, where he was paddling, was unusually calm at that time of year. So police were a little confused as to how he was able to have so much trouble, because it wasn't like it was rough waters.
Amateur.
It was calm waters.
So that was March 2002. He was legally declared dead in December 2003, and the death certificate stated that he had died on March 21st, 2002, the day of the accident. His life insurance of £250,000 was paid out in August 2004, which is $318,000. It's quite a bit of money for a teacher.
Yeah, I take that.
So for 5 years, there's silence. Nothing's really going on. Then on December 1st, 2007, someone marches into London's West End Central Police Station and says, I think I'm a missing person.
I think I'm a missing person. Who's marching?
And it's John. But John has no memory of the past 5 years. So, of course, they do a medical exam on him. They're doing all the things. And his symptoms and answers fail to match those of someone who would have amnesia. He would, like, selectively remember some things, but not remember other things. So they were like, this doesn't seem right.
Listen, John, this seems suspicious.
This seems suspicious. And also, there was no evidence of any, like, head trauma to explain the amnesia.
John, no.
So the tabloids get a hold of the story, of course, because this guy is missing. He's legally dead. And 5 years later, here he is. So they call it the Canoe Man, even though he was in a kayak. We're going to go with it. He is still called the Canoe Man.
The Canoe Man isn't as catchy.
It's not.
I get it.
So, of course, it hits the newsstands, and a photo is anonymously emailed to the police in the Daily Mirror. And in that photo, it's from a website, a little screenshot called movetopanama.com. And it's a company that promised to help you find a home in Panama. And the photo on their website is John and Ann.
Uh-oh.
Besides a Panama City property advisor. With the timestamp of July 4th, 2006, 18 months before he showed back up.
Okay.
Well, I think you're lying.
So a woman literally saw this news story of him and Googled John and Panama and found it.
That was hard.
Really. That's what hard. She said. And what did she do? She just emailed it to the police anonymously, like, hey, look, you should look at this.
Hey, Google these three things. Literally, that's all you have to do. Hint, hint.
Not
the
even
the three
hard.
Main things I just like for you to look at.
And she found it with two common names as John and Anne.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. So obviously, John has faked his own death. We're reaching that conclusion, right? Because he's back
John,
to life.
You're a liar.
Yes. And obviously, the motive seemed pretty clear. They were in debt. They wanted to cash out on the life insurance policy. But how did he do this?
Tell me.
He
tell
pushed,
me how.
I will.
Ain't nothing but a
fake wreck.
Name.
That's right.
All right. So he pushed the kayak into the beach to be wrecked. And then he fled to the coast and was going to lay low with a tent and provisions that he had already set up there. But here's where things are just like messed up. Anne was aware of the plot, the plan, the whole time. She's the one getting the money. She has to know. They had two adult sons, Mark and Anthony, who were 28 and 25 at the time.
Mark Anthony?
And they lied to them. So Anne couldn't tell them the truth. And she made a police officer tell them that their father was missing and then found dead. Or not found dead, but presumed dead. For 5 years, these two adult sons believed that their father was dead until he came back to life.
Oh, that's weird.
How traumatizing.
How dare you.
To go through a funeral for your father to grieve in.
Bitch.
What a dick.
Both of them. The mom and the dad lied to them.
Yep. Hate it.
All right. So John was described by an aunt of his as, quote, one of those who was trying to get rich too quick, end quote, and that he had a need for control and a desire to be wealthy. He pushed his two sons into several money-making schemes when they were growing up, like, what's it called? Multi-level marketing stuff.
Pyramid schemes.
And yes. MLM.
MLMs. Yes. And like going door to door trying to sell things and all this stuff.
That's terrible.
Like when they were like 14 and 15 years old.
Were they selling Encyclopedia Britannicas?
Encyclopedias.
Encyclopedias. Britannicas?
They were selling, I think knives was one of them. Oh, and like garden gnomes or something like that. Oh. It was weird.
Take my gnomes.
He was also described as a very controlling person, especially with Anne.
Take my gnome hand.
So 3 weeks after the smashed kayak was found, John returned with a beard.
I tried to give a gnome hand and it came out like this.
Shocker.
And then I was like, don't take that. I'm sorry. It's weird. I apologize.
So 3 weeks after the smashed kayak was found, he returned with a beard, a limp, and a new name, Carl Fenwick.
I'm sure you did.
Carl.
His name's Carl.
It's me, Carl.
So Carl lived in the basement bed sit. That was next door to the previous home. But he would return to the home whenever it was safe to do so and hang out with Anne. So they played it off really well. Like Anne would go scatter petals into the sea on the anniversary of his death every year. She was the grieving widow, even though she was spending his life insurance money.
Hate it.
And John just stayed in the bedsit, one of the homes that they owned, playing EverQuest online.
What is that?
It's like an online, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, like online role player kind of game, like a fantasy role playing game. So he left the bedsit and would even see his friends and neighbors walking around because this is his neighborhood. And a tenant, Lee Waldrop, he recognized the new handyman Carl as John, and he went up to him and said, "Aren't you supposed to be dead?"
He's got a point.
John said, "Don't tell anyone about this, okay?"
No, he didn't.
It's our secret.
And he blew it.
Lee said he didn't want to get involved, so he never went to the police about it.
Lee, goddamn it.
He was just like, "I didn't know what was going on, so I just left it alone."
That's so wrong.
Carl would be walking around the neighborhood with Anne, and the only thing different is he has a beard.
You don't recognize me.
I'm incognito.
Don't look at my face from here now.
The beard really tripped him up.
Yeah.
I am a new man.
And a limp.
It's me, Carl.
And he had a limp.
No longer John.
I know that I look like limp, John, and I'm walking with Anne, but I am not John.
I limp now, and I have a beard. Different.
He had a fake birth certificate made, obviously, because he was going to Panama. But he needed a passport to travel. So he went to the library and found, through their death records, a man named John Jones, who was born the same year as him, around the same area, but died at 5 weeks old. So he just stole this infant's identity to make a passport.
Well, that's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah. So he traveled as John Jones. So this new identity allowed him to travel outside of the UK, and him and Anne began going to Panama. But before that, John met a woman from Kansas while playing EverQuest.
Wow.
And they began an online flirtation.
That's it? It was just flirtatious?
What was her name?
Kelly Steele.
Oh.
Sounds fake.
So she told him about how cheap land was in Kansas. And he was
She's right.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Kansas. I've never been to the U.S. And I'm going to buy some land in Kansas.
I mean, I get it.
I think this was one of his other, like, get rich quick schemes. But, like, buying land in Kansas is not the way to get rich quick.
It's a get poor forever.
Well, damn it, Lindsay. That was my strategy.
So he goes to Kansas. Anne found out about all this. And she goes, "Go on then. Find someone else. I don't care. She's welcome to you. Let her deal with having a dead man hanging around the house all the time." All right. So John goes to Kansas. He gets to Kelly's house and he, you know, starts trying to resume their flirtation and hitting on her. And she's like, no there, John. That's not what I'm here for.
This was just online.
So she was like, I want to keep this partnership strictly business. So they made a joint $50,000 purchase of land with an attached farmhouse that was pretty run down. So John is pretty pissed off because he's not getting any return on this investment because it's Kansas.
Literally.
Or with her. So he goes, I'm going back to the UK, and started sending Kelly aggressive and threatening emails, which she did report to the local police department, who contacted the FBI, and he stopped contacting her. Okay. But it went no further than that.
We're good on
the
them.
The FBI didn't look into who is this guy using literally this dead child's birth certificate. Which, to be fair, they're probably like, he's in the UK. He's their problem. All right, so now we're back to March 2007, and John is living in Panama City in an apartment there and has started a new company called Jaguar Properties. Anne is going back and forth between the UK and Panama because she's trying to sell all of their UK properties. But the bedsit house next to the family home where John had been staying was sold under their son's name, Mark, because the house had been transferred to him the year before in 2006. But the proceeds of that sale were transferred to them in Panama, and Mark never even saw the money for the sale. His parents are the worst, is what I'm saying.
That's terrible.
They gave him a house, sold the house, and then kept all the money.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Fire them immediately.
I know. So the last home finally sells in October 2007, and Anne flies back to John in Panama. They had bought a new plot of land there for £250,000, which was the total amount of his life insurance policy. And they thought they would build a hotel or a resort on this land. Another get-rich-quick scheme.
Oh, that is?
Yeah.
To build a hotel, that's a get-rich-quick.
Gonna build a hotel. Well, it's not going to get them rich quick because they have to spend all the money to build the hotel.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, yeah. All right.
They're not very smart.
I'm with you.
But there's some changes that are happening in Panama. So there are some new visa regulations that means that Darwin cannot use his John Jones fake identity anymore because it's not going to pass the new checks that Panama's enforcing. So he has no choice. He has to go back to the UK. And he intended to reinvent John Darwin as an innocent missing person who had amnesia and hadn't seen his wife in 5 years.
He's going to show back up. I'm sorry, that wasn't really me in Panama.
That wasn't me in Panama.
Yeah.
I wasn't Carl. I just don't remember anything.
No, we're not the same.
So they go.
See the beard?
Before they decide to go back to the UK, though, they're like, let's go to Costa Rica on holiday. So they do, just
that's
for
fun. That's their fun way of saying vacation. I love that.
That European saying. They go on holiday.
Yeah. I'm going to say that.
Okay. We're going on holiday. All right. So then, like I said, on December 1st, 2007, John walks into the police station and claims to have no memory of the past 5 years. Anne was shocked that her husband was back.
Oh my God. He's alive.
And she was overjoyed.
Back from the grave.
It's him, Mr. Darwin.
Mr. Darwin.
That's what she called him.
Like I said, the police were looking into this. They ain't dumb. So they were already suspecting something funky was going on with the Darwins before he even walked into the police station and said he was still alive.
They're right.
They were investigating them on the down low because they thought that Anne was being a little weird. She was taking all these foreign holidays and selling all their homes and transferring large sums of money abroad despite her husband being missing and dead. It's suspicious. Mm-hmm. So they had an investigation open, partly thanks to Anne's colleagues. Because 4 months before John reappeared, the police received an anonymous tip from one of Anne's colleagues that she had heard him on the phone with Anne and said John might be alive.
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm.
She knows.
First off, don't talk to your dead husband when you're at work. Well, your coworkers probably know that he's dead.
This is weird.
So after the insurance policy was paid out in August 2004, way back then, Anne had quit her job and traveled to Panama and was permanently relocating there, but would brag through emails to her friends of all of the money that she had and of buying the large plot of land, and they all just thought it was weird. So when the police finally confronted her with the photo from Panama that was timestamped, Anne confirmed it and said, yes, that's him. My sons will never forgive me. So police arrested John and everything comes out. They find the fake passport, the stolen identity, everything. So initially the sons were elated when their father returned, but when everything came out, they issued a joint statement saying they felt that they had been victims of a scam and they wished to have no further contact with either parent. Mark described his mother as, quote, a hideous, lying bitch who had gone to outrageous lengths to con us.
Wow. Those are some strong words.
Anthony said, quote, they're as bad as each other. Dad told one nasty lie and disappeared and said he was dead, but she lied for 6 years. She was the face of the lies. She kept on lying even when the evidence was so overwhelmingly against her. She dragged us through hell by forcing a court case.
They're allowed to their feelings, and they're not wrong.
I mean, yeah. They're betrayed by both parents. Yeah. So Darwin was charged with insurance fraud and making false statements to obtain a passport. Anne was arrested at Manchester Airport the next day when she returned to the UK and was detained in connection with the fraud allegations. She appeared in court on the 11th of December to face two charges of fraud. On January 9th, they appeared in court separately and were charged with not only life insurance fraud, but also the teacher's pension fraud. So that fell under a different one because the pension was federal money.
Ooh.
So they stole from that. You can't steal the federal money. They get real mad.
They always find out.
Shouldn't steal anything. But they're definitely going to find you if it's federal money.
A federal pension is not going to go over well. And he had been a federal prison guard as well. So he had two pensions from that.
Yeah.
So on March 13th, John admitted to 7 charges of obtaining cash by deception and a passport offense and denied 9 charges of using criminal property. Anne denied 6 charges of deception and 9 of using criminal property. And by denied, I mean they are pleading not guilty, so this is going to court.
Okay.
So on July 23rd, 2008, after a long court sentence, they were both convicted of fraud. John had no extra charge for the fake passport, but was sentenced to 6 years and 3 months in prison. And Anne, who was described as a compulsive liar by police, was sentenced to 6 years and 6 months. So she actually got longer.
Wow. By 3 months.
Of course, they both appealed and it was dismissed by the Court of Appeals, but they were released early, both of them. So they were sentenced in 2008, but they had been in custody since 2007. So I think they probably counted that time. John was released on probation in January 2011, and Anne was released in March 2011. So served about 3-4 years total. All profits that they had made over the years were confiscated by the Crown. There's a fancy, the Crown.
It does sound fancy.
The Crown Prosecution Services on February 12, 2012 said that the entire $500,000 in life or £500,000, sorry, in life insurance and pension payouts had been recovered partly from all of the sales of the properties in Panama, which is $639,000.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Wow.
So in April 2014, John had reportedly only paid like £121. From all of that.
It's not very much money.
But as of July 2015, they have no more assets and they have repaid all of the pounds.
Wow.
Okay.
Impressive.
Pretty much sold everything. Shocking nobody, they are now divorced. John and Anne are.
Oh my God.
They got divorced in prison.
Wow, you don't say.
John is remarried and living in the Philippines with a wife who is 23 years younger than him.
Okay.
Last the media heard, he planned to travel to fight in Ukraine. His wife told reporters, quote, he will have a bulletproof vest and good life insurance. Good for me.
Oh, wow. Those are inside thoughts.
She's like, oops, they didn't include that part.
I don't know if that's true, but if it is, that is hilarious. But that is a quote. Anne has reunited with her sons after she got out of prison. They are working on healing their relationship. And she collaborated with journalist David Lee on a book titled, quote, Out of My Depth, and has since publicly spoken about her involvement in the scam, claiming that she was controlled by John throughout it all.
Wow.
Wow.
And that is the story of John Darwin and his fake death.
That's fascinating, actually.
He almost got away with it, but
he almost got away with it, but not really. Turned himself in thinking he could tell everybody that he just had amnesia.
Just kidding. I didn't. Die.
I don't actually remember anything from the past 5 years, but I know who I am.
Made you look.
They're like, oops,
sorry. I forgot.
That's not how amnesia works. It's not selective.
Weird.
Don't think about anything that I stole. Just ignore the money that I took from
it. What do you mean my life insurance? I don't know where that money is.
Am I lovable? Don't you love me? You miss me, right?
Forget about all that.
My name's Carl. Look, I shaved my beard.
Carl.
Carl, no beard.
John no beard, Carl beard.
Yeah, my bad. Carl beard.
It's very easy.
Yes, obviously.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week for our true crime episode. You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com with our socials linked from there, or send us an email at thetipsyghost@gmail.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it really does help.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.